Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Carter and I were kind of thinking that we do a bit of a Anthony Davis podcast, talk about the Supermax and the implications there. But you know what? We're a current podcast. We like to keep up with the times. And when we have breaking news or big stories, we're going to dive headfirst into that. And we have such an occasion right now. Your Columbus Blue Jackets are taking on my Winnipeg Jets right now, Carter. And currently your Jackets are leading. What do you have to say about that?
My Jackets carry the flag. Are, you know, they're just doing what they do. You know, this is what led them to be 28-18 this season.
Hell yeah.
With only three ties. Or overtime wins. That's what it is. That's what the third column is. So, you know, I'm proud of the boys.
You should be proud. And yeah. I got a very important question for you, though.
Yeah. If
right now the Jackets are in that last wild card spot, but we know in hockey, anything can happen. You get in the playoffs, you have a chance to go all the way. If Columbus meets Winnipeg in the Stanley Cup Finals, and Winnipeg is, of course, in first place in the West, as they should be, are you coming here? Are you coming up here?
Absolutely not. Are you coming here?
Well, no. I mean, you want to make the trip to a major metropolis like Winnipeg. I mean, if one of us is going to travel, you're coming to me.
How cold did it get over there?
No. At that point, it'll be warm. It'll be lovely. We'll be having street parties. You'll love it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how much longer you're in first place after tonight's L. Nashville's hot on the trail.
But
we
kind of do have some NBA news, I guess, going on. Today started with me listening to the Open Floor podcast and listening to Andrew Sharp mention the hypothetical of the Knicks giving up Kevin Knox in order for a team to take on Tim Hardaway Jr. And my mind was spinning. I was like, you know what? We got non-guaranteed deals. I'm sure Dan will eat that money. That's the exact type of thing we're looking for. Apparently, the Knicks were willing to give up Porzingis the salary dump. That was probably one of the most shocking NBA moves I've ever seen.
Well, what's so shocking about it to me is the immediacy of it. Like, we had the report that Zinger was like met with brass, and then 40 minutes later he was dealt. That feels like someone's lying to me here, and I'm not sure who, but someone is.
Yeah, my suspicion
is... what's going on there? What do you think?
My suspicion is that the Knicks were talking about trading Porzingis. They were exploring deals, and he kind of got wind of it. He went to the Knicks. They had their meeting, and it was like, okay, well, we already got a deal pretty much lined up that we feel comfortable enough taking. We want Dennis Smith Jr. I think they do value him to some extent. And they're like, hey, we can create two max cap spots for next or for this offseason in one move here. And they went ahead and did that.
Yeah, it's just weird, man. Do you think that it's weird to me because it's like did they really need to move on from Zinger to clear this cap room? Like, it doesn't feel like he was just the tax. You know,
that's fair, but I think the other thing and the sad reality of this is they probably have a better idea of what his health looks like than anybody else, or at least they're projecting towards the future. And once guys that size start having serious injuries, and an ACL tear certainly qualifies as a serious injury, I think the risk of re-injury or just their durability in general has to be put into question. And
well, you know, who's not worried about it is Kristaps, apparently, because they're saying he's going to sign the qualifying offer. And for those that aren't versed in, you know, restricted, unrestricted free agency, I don't blame you. It's a weird thing, but like basically he's saying, I want to take 1 year, a huge pay cut, just for the right to enter unrestricted free agency and leave your ass. And it's like, one, you are 7'3" coming off a torn ACL, and he's never gotten a big payday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why he's doing it financially. And then it's like, the Mavs seem like as good of a situation for a young international big with shooting flair to go to.
Carter, I just can't see a player like that working out in Dallas personally. I just don't see it. Where do you think that fits?
I don't understand. I'm like pulling my hair out about the qualifying offer thing, and it feels like everyone else sort of moved on. And it's
I think some of that they're taking as posturing, or they believe.
But like, what is he posturing for?
Well, that's a great question, actually. I think Dallas feels confident enough that they're going to be able to convince him to not do that and to sign a big extension. And I'm with you. Like, that seems like a great situation. I mean, him and Luka, you got Dirk there in a mentorship role, somebody that he looks up to. It's baffling to me. Like, I just can't see a whole lot of other situations.
And no, especially not when you're – even if you did have other preferences, I wouldn't have the preference so hard that I'd turn down all that money and assume all that risk, you know? Like, maybe if he had his pick of all the teams the year after, that he might not prefer Dallas compared to other options. But it's like
right. –
Given the scenario, this is a reason guys don't turn down this max, and one would imagine Dallas would be offering the max. I can't.
You know what's happening though, right? Like, he's trying to get to Cleveland. He knows that the Cavs are positioning themselves to have cap space.
Baby.
Yeah, they're positioning themselves to get cap space in 2020, and he wants to get to Cleveland. He knows that they're on the way up. You look at the Eastern Conference right now, and you got Kyrie that's about to leave to the Knicks. That's going to force Boston to rebuild to some extent. Kawhi's going to the Clippers. Toronto will be rebuilding. It'll basically just be the Cavs going up against the Kyrie and Durant Knicks. And I think Porzingis is a major part of that, along with RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson, Sexton, Jetty, and Love.
Dude, it's so weird. By the way, you know what I think is – I'm just moving on. You know what's funny about this, though, is if he does take the qualifying offer and then force his way out, whether by walking or forcing a trade of some right. sort.
What's that?
I would love the idea of Mark Cuban, like, after just getting his ass kicked for years and years, getting a little too high on his own supply with the Luka pick. Like, oh, we are back, baby. And then just gets played by an agent all over again.
That would really be something, especially when you consider that, like, Dallas offered up two first-round picks here. Like, I think they
have no protections on those yet.
I think I saw one of the protections out there. It's not too heavily protected. I'm assuming the second is. But no, I don't have the particulars in front of me. And of course, right now, their picks are kind of spoken for. It's top five protected this year.
The first one is the 2021 is unprotected. Mm-hmm. 2023 is protected. I think top five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's I don't know, man. It's a pretty big price to give, but I'll say this, man. It does feel like the second superstar is much harder than the third.
I would agree with that. I
just
think
from the perspective of, it's so hard to get anyone to come play with you when you only got one guy, unless that guy is so good that it's just like it's a no contest. But like, you know, you see it with like a guy like Dame, like the best coach, or even Kyrie to some extent, or Victor Oladipo in Indiana. Like, these are guys who we all agree are good, but aren't so good that anyone's like forming nefarious plans make a super team with them. So right. Once you get that second guy, it's a little bit easy. Though I don't know if maybe they can get Gordon Hayward and achieve Mark Cuban's dream.
that would certainly be something. You know how Chandler Parsons went?
Oh, man.
Well, what if Chandler Parsons was a Trump supporter? Wouldn't you love that, Mark? Well,
cockassity.
I think one thing we kind of overlook, because these guys are pro athletes, they're making millions of dollars, but at the same time, like, they're what? Porzingis is 23 years old. I think some of these organizations are kind of figuring out that these guys don't know what the hell they want yet, and they're banking on the fact that, hey, if we get them into a good situation, if Porzingis is playing with Luka, that's going to be a really good fit. Those guys are going to be awesome together if Porzingis is healthy and himself. And he's kind of banking, hey, this is a good city. I'm sure we're going to be able to change his mind on this. And I think that was something that we saw with Paul George. And I think more and more organizations are saying, screw it. It's worth the risk, especially if we're giving up kind of pennies on the dollar here or role players to get a potential star. That's worth it. That is absolutely worth the gamble because these guys are so hard to get, as you said.
Yeah, I think most – this is going to be one of those trades where I think a lot of people a lot of not tuned-in people are going to murder the Knicks for giving up Zinger for a bunch of losers and some firsts. And smart people are going to bury the Mavs for giving up too much for a guy who, you know, conceivably could be broken.
Right.
And both parties will kind of not understand the big picture in the end. You know, the more casual people are not going to realize that the Knicks are just playing for Kyrie and KD right now. And, you know, depending on, you know, what you believe, that's either smart and they know something we don't, or a fool's errand. But that's what they're doing. They're not just operating in a vacuum here.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, you know, to go against the people who say the Mavs gave up too much, well, you know, it's not as easy to find a second star as you think. And I think Cavs fans specifically know what it's like when you have a rookie that's good too fast, that starts artificially raising your ceiling.
Yeah.
Artificially raises your floor.
Right.
People like to shit on the Cavs for not surrounding LeBron with enough talent in the first era. They've had one lottery pick.
That was the problem. LeBron was too damn good.
He was too good right away. And
the picks they did have either got hurt or like it just didn't pan out.
Or they weren't high picks, you know?
Yeah, they weren't high, but they also just didn't pan out for various reasons.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if Luke Jackson turned into a good spot-up shooter and role player, like, that's not changing the game, you know?
I don't know. I think Luke Jackson would have changed it all, man.
Perhaps. But my point is, they already are going to lose their first to Atlanta this year. So that's 1 year of the team not being very good where they're not going to be able to add young talent. You kind of have to go out of your way to do this. Like, they're not operating from a position of strength, even though it looks like it, because they have this top pick. But you really have to kind of hustle to make it worth their while early on. And to some extent, I think that means you got to take risks. I love this for Dallas. Now, if medicals come back or, you know, Zinger comes back and he looks fundamentally broken, then, well, shit, maybe that wasn't the right play and maybe they should have done a little bit more due diligence. But conceptually, I just think it's the right kind of move that a team needs to make. Because, you know, you could just be Indiana. And I think you said this, like, Indiana's probably going to be happy if they make a couple conference finals in this era.
And yeah, just hang around, be competitive.
Just hang around, be competitive, put on a good product. I think the Mavs aspire to a little bit more than that. That's why after they won their championship in 2011, they went and blew up their whole freaking team because they didn't want to lock themselves into mediocrity. And it hasn't gone very well for them, but that is their organizational mindset. So I love it. I think, and, you know, this is the kind of move that both on the court and just conceptually keeps Luka around and happy. Hopefully keeps Porzingis around and happy. You can kind of build a culture around these two guys. And I think the on-court style fits pretty well. What do you think about that?
It should. I mean, Luka's really dynamic. He's not a selfish player. He's incredibly talented. And Porzingis is somebody that is an intelligent player. He obviously, his ability to shoot the ball is obviously a good fit there. I think it's a really good fit. And there's kind of two things that I have right now. Is one, Jack Roslovic tied up the game in Winnipeg. Two, it would be really funny that, especially with this week here, where we're all talking about whether or not the Supermax failed, for a player Porzingis' status to take the qualifying offer, that's... That almost makes me want to re-examine restricted free agency because especially with his injury history, it's just unthinkable for him to make that move. And I just wonder what type of a precedent that would set.
I don't think it would actually set a precedent because most guys aren't going to operate so illogically, you know, like, like that. There's such a big difference between, who's recently turned down a Supermax to go chase, Kawhi. There we go. Kawhi,
Rodney Hood.
Shut up. Like Kawhi, you know, this isn't Kawhi turning down an extra year and an extra $30 million to go to a situation he prefers. This is a guy turning down a hilarious amount of money to be on a 1 year deal with no insurance. Like, it's just nonsense. In fact, I just think someone's going to talk to him. I mean, he must be getting some bad advice because I don't understand this.
Yeah, I think the bad advice is probably a good call, and hopefully hanging out with Cubes is going to change his view on life, because I'm with you. I'm here for the thought exercise of, oh, does this set a precedent? If players are that unhappy with their current situation, is this a route that they're actually going to take? But I think you're right. It's so illogical, and it just makes no sense whatsoever, especially to like get out of Dallas. Like, I think Dallas is a little overrated as an organization. Like, I think they try to have this Spurs-like mystique, but I just don't think that that's the case. But it's still a good situation. Like, that should be a great spot for Porzingis. I don't think that that's somewhere that you risk stability long term and risk all of that money to get out of that spot. Because
no, it doesn't make any sense.
It's completely illogical to me.
Yeah. For the Knicks, does this make you more or less confident that KD's going there?
I think that. See, I understand that the Knicks are a very dysfunctional organization, so the knee-jerk reaction is always going to be to assume that they're idiots, and that's very possibly true. And you know what? Even if they do have assurances from KD and Kyrie, they still might be idiots.
Dangerous.
Yeah, they still might be idiots for believing two of the weirdest guys we have in the NBA that change their mind at kind of the at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But I do think that they are very, very confident that they can get KD. And I do think that Kyrie is a very distinct possibility. And it was interesting listening to the Hoop Collective. Jackie McMullen was kind of saying, you know what, like there's an uneasiness in Boston. We don't know what's going to happen. And she says she doesn't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't completely shock her if Boston traded Kyrie to kind of recoup some value there before he walks. Which,
yikes, man.
Which to me, I just don't think you're going to get more value from that than you would get from him potentially helping you to make a finals
run. Yeah, you need him in the play.
You're not getting enough back. We didn't get enough back, and that was with 2 years left on the deal. I think with him kind of sending out signals that, hey, I'm considering other options, I really don't think you're going to get a lot back, especially with the way that teams kind of view Danny Ainge and also just having a week to operate. I just don't think that you can.
Yeah, plus, like, come on. Like, if he's going to New York, you're not going to convince him with half a year.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
Not enough time. It would be nonsense. You would just have to ride it out at that point. Mm-hmm. By the way, how crazy would it have been if the Cavs had taken the Middleton Brogdon in the first
man
offer for both teams? How much better would the Cavs be, and how bonkers would Brooklyn be, or would Milwaukee be? Sorry,
Milwaukee would be really good. Actually, I still think my favorite deal, and it's also because I'm insanely biased, but the Denver. Denver deal where they were trying to get either Murray or Harris along with a pick, like that would have been a lot of fun, because Jamal Murray would kind of give you like a poor man's Kyrie type thing, a guy that's going to shoot a lot of threes, and Gary Harris is a nice player. That was always the one I wanted a lot. The other thought is Minnesota turned down Wiggins for Kyrie, and thank God that happened. Thank God they didn't want to include him. How different would Minnesota be with Jimmy Butler?
Minnesota would be looking for their point guard next year because Kyrie would be walking.
Well, I mean, Jimmy would.
That's
probably
why I think that's why you turn it down. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I guess
at this point,
with Jimmy.
Yeah, it would be playing with Jimmy, and also even if Kyrie was walking, you're getting off that fucking contract.
Yeah, for sure. It would be worth it. God, what if Jimmy found his way to the Knicks too? That'd be the all unlikable team.
That would really be something. Can you imagine the fake deep quotes that would be passed around that locker room and all the attempts at leadership from Jimmy Butler, Kyrie, and KD?
Jesus. I mean, I would hate that so much. Because my next question to that end is, can they trump with now with an unprotected 2021 and 2023 first from Dallas? Can they go to New Orleans, no matter whether they win the draft lotto or not, and say, here's salary and three first-round picks, including our 2019 pick, to jumpstart your rebuild?
I don't think so. I think Porzingis needed to be a part of that.
What if it's number one? I think it's a no-brainer. I would take Zion over Tatum. I would take him over Ingram.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
if not just for the level of excitement he would bring to a franchise.
At that point, though, like, I guess you're getting too cute if you're considering that, like Zion with KD, Kyrie, and Knox over.
That feels a little messy to me. Like, yeah, if you feel your brow, you just do it. Like, it doesn't matter. And, like, The thing that should be especially alluring for the KD, Kyrie, Brow trio is that two of those guys are still pretty young.
Yeah,
and Kyrie, no, for sure. And AD, and KD is only 29, I think. So, you know, you can kind of see that group growing together for a while, though. I would be really interested to see. So I was talking to my brother about this afternoon because I kind of pitched that to him, and he immediately kind of got – you know, he's on team like the Warriors kind of ruined his interest in the game a little bit. Like, he doesn't, because he's not, you know, he's not as hardcore watching the whole league. So he's like, well, no one can win. I'm just not as interested.
I think that's a reasonable take.
Which is allowed, despite people on NBA Twitter who want to wag their finger at you. but he's like, when I mentioned that, he's like, ah, well, that would probably just break the league again if all three of those guys went to the Knicks. And I just thought, I don't think so. I think they might win a championship, but that's a weird combo of talent.
That's a Miami Heat. How weird is
that, man?
That's a Miami Heat three, where you're really not able to surround it. Like, the Warriors were just such a fluke with how they came together. And also, you're dealing with two guys that are injury prone in Kyrie and AD.
Plus, like, who's making better on that team? Like, no one has an amazing vision in that group.
Right,
it would be that's like a straight up pickup league team. Like, just roll the ball out and get some buckets. But, like, I don't really understand how that team would work, like, against an elite defense. Other than just, I guess you just wouldn't matter much because your shot making would be so good. But right. Like, you know, the thing that makes the Warriors unfair isn't just the talent; it's that the talent all happens to fit so perfectly. Like, Lowe talks about it when he's defended the Sixers roster construction, is that the Warriors have warped our idea of what a super team is supposed to look like, because almost every super team in the history of super teams have required guys sacrificing, kind of taking small L's and sacrifices, where the Warriors just, like, kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's interesting because two of the major topics that I've really seen this week, one is collusion and the power that LeBron has, which I personally think the whole clutch sports thing, I think that's another kind of once in a lifetime occurrence. I don't think there's ever going to be a player with the power of LeBron. And, like, he built this.
Who makes an agent?
Yeah. Who makes an agent. And, like, it happened quietly. Like, it was all behind the scenes, and he's gained more and more power until it was basically like a hostile takeover of the league, where he clearly has more power than a lot, if not all, of the owners in the league. So I think that's interesting.
I was thinking about this, Justin. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's some way in the next CBA someone will try to legislate that kind of relationship out?
I think they might try, but
I don't know how you do it. It's like,
also his agent. Because, know what the other issue is? LeBron's at the head of the players' union.
Yeah,
he's going to be negotiating the next CBA.
That's an excellent point.
He's gained so much goddamn power here. Oh God, Winnipeg just scored, took the lead.
Congratulations, Justin.
How about that? My theory with collusion, though, is I really do think that when KD leaves, because I do think it's a matter of when, I think we're going to see less and less of it, because I think the degree to which we've seen like these players teaming up is really a product of trying to beat the Warriors. We're like, we have to go to incredible lengths to build a team that's even going to have a chance at taking a game or two off these guys. And once talent gets a little more evenly distributed, you're going to see more and more guys' egos take over and say, hey, you know what? No, I want to win. I want to be the guy. Maybe you'll have two players together, kind of those dynamic duos that we've seen in the past. I just think that we're going to see talent get a little more distributed. And actually, Adam Silver had talked about how he thinks that, I think it was on Bomani Jones's podcast, where he was saying that he believes that we're going to see talent get more distributed in the years that are ahead of us, just because it was just such a fluke. It was just such a timing thing that brought us into this era. And I really think that we're kind of at the tail end of that.
If the Warriors didn't exist right now, how many teams would have a reasonable chance at the NBA championship?
Wow. Okay, so you got four in the East, and I would say probably about three in the West.
That is a pretty healthy league.
Yeah. No, it's the league is deeper than it's ever been. And I really do think, like, even if you do have a team up, so I think the best case scenario would be KD and Kyrie. With the Knicks, not Anthony Davis. I don't know where the best spot for him to end up is. Obviously, I don't want to see him with the Lakers. So we'll see what happens.
Though, I actually don't care. I think it'll be fun.
No, me too. And I mean, I want to see LeBron on a good team. I most of my frustration with that team has been that they're wasting.
That was an all-time temper tantrum out of Lakers Twitter this morning.
Oh man, that was beautiful.
I was so much fun. In tears. I just don't understand how anyone could think that you could act the way the Lakers have acted the last, 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and not have everyone absolutely fucking hate their guts.
Yeah. No. And it's pretty remarkable. And as I had pointed out, I think a big part of it too is the fact that, at least what gets leaked publicly, it seems like they are trying to not offer up everything they have. They didn't with Paul George. It didn't sound like they did it with Kawhi. And they might have already reached that point with Anthony Davis, but like the initial reports were now willing to include Brandon Ingram in trade talks and crap like that.
Yeah.
It just seems like we're going to lowball you because we're going to get them no matter what, because this has been our plan. Got LeBron, who can stop us now? And I think there's some resentment from the rest of the league as a result of that. I do think one thing that's interesting, though, is kind of the notion of, okay, so we already have issues with the draft where teams that are building through the draft don't have the same odds. They're not able to build with, or at least count on the same high picks with the same reliability. But the other thing is, once you get that star, can you keep them? And are you being compensated enough? I mean, when small markets like the Knicks lose Porzingis just this easily, it makes you think.
It does make you think. Well, poor Rudy Gobert couldn't make an all-star team because he's in a small market. Those behemoths like the Spurs are just ruining it for everyone.
Yeah, no. That Rudy Gobert, man, I really want to see, especially when I watch, like, All-Star is one of those things that, like, I'll watch that with my wife, and, oh, yeah, like, here's all the big names. I mean, she really likes some good DRPM. Gets her excited.
Unironically thought to myself, I am a grown-ass man. I have a home now. I have a wife. I cannot fathom, Justin. I cannot fathom being upset that a defensive specialist did not make the All-Star game.
No, man. It's the type of thing
who gives a fuck?
It's the type of thing that really keeps me up at night. Or
he's going to play 9 minutes. Guys, calm down. I know what they're gonna say, and I know what the counter is. Hey, well, we count all-star games when we're looking at Hall of Fame. Boy, if you're losing sleep about whether Rudy Gobert is gonna make the Hall of Fame, who gives a fuck?
No, that's one of those things that people really need to get over, and it's the type of thing that would have kept me up at night back in the day, but now that's like that's not a problem for me because now I have my pillow. And I think this is a good opportunity for other people.
Let me tell you this, Justin. These people that are upset about the All-Star game are about as soft as my pillow. Like the rest of us, you probably made a New Year's resolution. If you're planning to eat better, exercise more, be more patient, kinder, or whatever, all starts a good night's rest, Justin. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and enter my promo code COZY. You'll get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. You know where Rudy Gobert's not going, the All-Star game. It's amazing what a difference a great pillow makes. If you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on their 4-pack, shipping's absolutely free. That's Rudy Gobert's schedule during the All-Star game. Free. That's right. No shipping cost. Zippo, zilch, nada. And don't forget about their 60-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing better than the gift of restorative sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and use my code COZY to get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Go anywhere is where I'd like to go when someone's telling me about Tobias Harris's stat line on the year. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-1472. And remember, my promo code can be used for any offer on MyPillow.com. Again, that's my promo code, COZY.
There you go. See, that is a professional-ass segue to that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we both did great. But back to the All-Star game. You know what else? I've caught a new podcast trope, Justin.
What is that?
From the people who brought you, can I swear on this podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I bring you the sequel, which is the last 2 spots in the West for the All-Star game. I can't figure it out. There's too many good guys. And then you look at the East, and it's like, who even deserves to go? I've heard 47 different podcasts make the same joke, Justin.
Carter, at Zach Lowe.
I'm adding Zach. I'm adding the open floor boys. I'm adding everyone. Who gives a shit? It's 11-12 on the All-Star game. It's okay not to care about everything. That's my point.
And it's also just like one of those hedges where it's like, I don't want angry Blazers fans telling me about Nurkic.
You know, and I haven't slept for weeks as to whether Yusuf Nurkic was my 16th alternate or my 17th alternate. But, I just bit the bullet and I had to pick. You know, who cares? It's okay.
Thank God I have these go-anywhere pillows. So as I'm trying to figure this out in my daily routine, I can scream into it.
Make up some sleep on the train or something. You know, it's just like, as a co-host of an NBA podcast, I think we find ways to care about a lot of lines of discussion that don't ultimately matter, but like...
do you really think that we've had to manufacture lines of discussion in this season when we've had so much to talk about?
Doesn't sound like us. I don't know, man. That All-Star stuff, it's like... I don't know how much you care. I don't care almost at all, but if I do care, I just want guys who are fun and will do fun, stupid, interesting, crazy things.
Right. Like Kyle Lowry.
I need Al Horford there.
Man, Raptors Twitter really was doing victory laps over Kyle Lowry getting in, and they're very offended by anyone that says he's just not entertaining to watch. And I mean, come on. The guy's like shooting. I'm going to pull it up, but he's shooting terrible from the floor this year. He can't shoot, and he still takes shots like he can shoot. I mean,
it just doesn't matter. I just don't want to watch him play. It's not like I just like
even good Lowry was just okay. He's going to bring the ball up the floor. He's going to get guys involved. He's making winning plays out there. Yeah,
look, you know what I want out of my All-Star game is the best NBA Jam rosters.
Yeah,
I want your dribble rating to be high. I want your dunk rating to be high. I want your block rating to be high. I just care about that. I don't need your I don't need the box out rating to be very good. I don't care.
Carter, Jetty Osman is shooting better from the floor and from three than Kyle Lowry this year.
I'm not surprised
at
all that the young king is showing out. Not surprised.
What is going on, Dave Dufour? How's it going, buddy?
Coming in hot.
How you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic.
I got to be honest here, and I'm not proud to say this. I thought Justin had like somehow figured out a way to work drops into the show. I was like, what the fuck are we talking? What is going on?
I love that I've been on the show now enough that you would have Dave drops.
Yeah. Listen, I didn't think this through. Dave, I was just railing on my least favorite podcast trope at the moment, which is pretending that you agonized over the 11th and 12th spots on the All-Star game.
I hate
a thing that doesn't matter.
I hate talking about the All-Star game.
Of course you do, because it's stupid.
It's dumb.
It's just fun. It's just supposed to be fun. We don't have to get mad about it.
Well, we got to get mad about everything. That's, you know, 2019.
We got to manufacture conversation.
I will tell you this. What I do not like is that you have guys who have contract incentives tied to making All-Star games.
It's weird.
It's not good. Like, your agent is terrible if they did that. But also, I think maybe this is something that needs to be addressed in the CBA. Just get rid of that. It's dumb. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's arbitrary. It's not like, you average 50 points a game, right? Like, okay, that's a real thing that we can see. I mean, it's not going to happen, but we can see that it happened. The All-Star game, guys, DeMar DeRozan should have been an All-Star, not LaMarcus Aldridge.
Well, I mean, that's basically, get out of here. That's the Spider-Man meme. They're the same player.
I don't care about any of it.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what's interesting about the thing you said about incentives? Is there anything better that sounds better in theory in the world of sports that doesn't hold up at all than like most incentive-based things in contracts? Because it just feels like whenever we do hear about them, it's because someone is doing something outrageous to exploit. Was it Harkless? He just didn't shoot a three for the last like 30 games because he was over the threshold.
Maybe Ben Simmons has a clause like that, where
if he shoots over 0%, he doesn't get paid.
Right, exactly. No. I mean, does it really count as 0% if you don't take one?
Yeah, it would be 0%.
I'm just going to call that nil. Dave, I want to get your quick take because we were talking about this before, but your reaction to the Porzingis trade.
You know, we did the live emergency podcast today, this afternoon. Count the Dings Network. We did it on Twitch over at twitch.tv/countthedings.
All right, calm down.
Yeah, so here's my take. First of all, this clearly has been going on for multiple days. You don't put together a trade that involves seven players in 20 minutes, okay? So everyone pump your brakes that they just found out that Porzingis wanted to be traded, and they threw together this trade. Also, hey, Dallas was in New York last night, right? So the two sides get to really sit down and hash it out. It wasn't just exchanging texts and phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption is Porzingis told the Knicks that he was going to sign his qualifying offer, which essentially, you know, means he would be an unrestricted free agent after a year.
Right.
They weren't happy about it, and so they were like, well, what can we get? Dennis Smith is good, man. Like, I mean, they could have drafted him 2 years ago, or he's gonna be good. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Like,
isn't the right play when someone tells you that, though, you just look at them dead in the eyes and say, prove it?
Well, yes, there's that. But also, I see now I'm of the school of thought, and their GM came out and said this. You don't want to trap someone there that doesn't want to be there. So I can respect that. Now, I don't know how truthful he's being.
I don't think they're being nice guy. I don't think they were acting out of the kindness of their heart.
I know.
I reject that, actually.
Listen, they want to sign free agents this summer, right? They cleared up a ton of cap space. And, hey, you had to move KP to do it? Okay. I mean, it's
did they, though? That's my question, ultimately.
No, they didn't have to. But I will say that's a side benefit. So if you're not going to keep him around, at least you got Dennis Smith, and now you potentially can sign KD and Kyrie outright, or Kyrie and Jimmy Butler or, you know, whatever. You just can't trade for Anthony Davis anymore.
Right. Or Tobias Harris and Kemba Walker.
Right.
Next.
When they strike out.
How do you feel about the Dallas end of this? Because I kind of like it for a lot of different reasons, but I also am very confused.
So
I'm of several minds.
Well, all right. So first of all, they actually got better today. I mean,
even without
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee are going to be great there. They're going to be fantastic. I wonder if Harrison Barnes sticks around much longer, but you know, it is what it is. It's an interesting trade because they could also lose KP after a year, but they're taking a swing at it. They offloaded expiring contracts and they got two guys that I think actually have some value. Courtney Lee is an expiring this year, I believe. Or does he have 1 year left?
No, he's got 1 year left. That was part of why he was included in the deal.
And Tim Hardaway, I think, has 2 years.
He has like 9 to 12.
But they actually have some value. So, you know, I don't know. Those guys are going to work really well next to Luka. And then, you know, obviously there's the Porzingis thing. Porzingis might be back in like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. I hope so for my fantasy team. I picked them up off waiver.
Who are they running at the nominal point guard? Because you don't want Luka guarding those guys, right?
Oh, right. So you would have Courtney Lee. You would have, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, whoever.
You just play super big?
Yeah, yeah.
Think
about how long they've played super small.
Yeah.
Devin Harris and J.J. Barea.
Yogi Ferrell playing some cool power forward minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, now you've actually got some size and some versatility. Like, you know.
Do you think they chase a center long term? Because it does feel like that is a dangerous position to put Zinger at, given that he is made of plexiglass.
No, I think he would be the long-term center if he's going to stick around. I was actually surprised they didn't try to get Capella and like really throw a full max at him. He would have been really great.
Mm-hmm.
I compare Luka to James Harden quite a bit. I mean, you give him James Harden's pick-and-roll partner, and you might have a stew.
Yeah, get ourselves a stew going. I can't make heads or tails of this qualifying offer thing. Do you think this is just a case of bad advice? Why on earth would he do this?
Well, no. See, now, all right. So I have a theory here. We've talked about pre-agency, right? Where guys are getting out of their contracts. You know, at least theory.
One of the Ringer's better cultural contributions.
Yeah, pre-agency. Absolutely. And so we've got that. Well, now I'm telling you that the next wave is going to be guys signing the qualifying offer to hit unrestricted free agency.
Why?
What's the benefit here?
For freedom of movement? But now, like, you give up some money, but you know it's not really that much.
A lot of money.
In the grand scheme of your career, it doesn't wind up being that much. I mean,
it does when you get hurt.
Here's the deal. If you're Ben Simmons, okay, and you want to be in L.A., the fastest way to get there is to sign that qualifying offer and then go sign with LA. Ben Simmons, by the way, I think is going to be the next guy to do this.
But that's a little bit different than Porzingis.
These guys have not had their big payday yet, Dave.
Like, Porzingis has hit as many threes this year as Ben Simmons. Like, I think there's a bit of a concern here with his health. Like, if you can hit that big payday, like, I agree with Carter. Like, I think Simmons is more likely to have future paydays. He can take that risk a little bit easier than Porzingis, in my opinion.
I guess my thinking on it, Dave, is that you're really only losing 2 years.
Okay.
And then you just force your way out. Like, I guess you don't always get to pick your destination, but you do get to at least like eliminate the truly awful teams. Like, you know, you can say, hey, I want to go to the Lakers. You know, that's probably where I want to go. But like, let's say, you know, the Kings of a couple years ago tried to trade for you. You could say, there is literally no way I'm staying with you. Do not trade for me. Like, you at least have the veto power to some extent, for the truly, truly odious situations. Right. Like, it feels like a more healthy half measure given that these guys haven't gotten their first big payday yet.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I don't know if it's necessarily a smart move, but I think that's the next move. And we've seen it with clutch clients already.
I think it's objectively a bad idea for Porzingis to do this. A guy with no health problems.
in particular Porzingis because of the ACL thing.
Yeah, what? I just don't get, like, what's the better situation for him? Like, what's he looking for if not Dallas?
I don't know. Does he want to – is he, like, a guy who wants to play in L.A.? And maybe not for the Lakers, but does he just want to be in L.A.? I don't know.
That feels like a stretch. I don't know. It's because it's like
he should have forced himself to the
thing.
He should have forced himself to Brooklyn. You're trying to force everyone
to Brooklyn.
I do. I want Brooklyn. Dave,
you've been banging that drum.
I have been for like 2.5 years. Yeah. I don't know. I actually don't know where he wants to go. That's the thing. Is like there's nothing out there.
Yeah,
out of nowhere.
It is bothering me the extent to which they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
That's my theory. I think that Dallas is banking on Porzingis not knowing what he wants, not knowing what he's going to do, and they have to be confident that they're going to be able to keep him because I just think that guaranteed money, especially with his health, is going to be too much to turn down.
Well, and they walked with Luka, recruited by Dirk.
They've walked that back a little bit. Or at least Woj did.
Right. Which yeah. makes sense. To me, it would just be interesting, especially when you're looking at kind of the way that Supermax contracts have gone, which I don't think that it's really helped with player retention unless it's guys like John Wall or franchise crippling contracts like Russell Westbrook. Like, I just think that the only result that we've had from it is that players seem to be asking out sooner, which is kind of giving them the opportunity or franchises the opportunity to get some value back ahead of time, which I do think is interesting. But at the same time, it doesn't – I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about this trend, especially if it continues and what it would mean for other markets – on whether or not they would become even more farm systems than they have been in the past. What's kind of your sense on that, Dave?
I mean, we talked about that a little bit today on our show on the back-to-back podcast over at Count the Dings.
We did, man.
Like, teams are getting tired of this, we're going to have these guys for 7 years, and then when they're hitting their prime, the big teams are going to come and take them. But at the same time, man, you got them for 7 or 8 years. I don't feel bad.
Well, you don't anymore.
It's so complicated, though. I forget who made the point that really you're getting them as good players for 3 to 4 years.
Sure.
And but even now that's getting tied into like
– it's easier to get other good players while they're shitty. So maybe you should have gotten more talent in that time in between.
Right. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, you make that argument, Dave, but then you're also earlier saying that you think more and more players are going to start taking qualifying offers, which would really neuter things. I don't know what the solution
is. Can I ask a question, Justin?
Yeah, go for it.
Do we need a solution?
No.
That's kind of the way I feel.
I don't.
Well, I like what the league is right now.
I do like what the league is right now, and I don't want to kill player movement. I do think player empowerment is a good thing. And Dave, my theory I had said earlier is I think once Durant leaves the Warriors, I think a lot of this teaming up that we've seen and kind of the degree to which collusion has got to in the NBA is a result of the Warriors and teams trying to assemble rosters that are good enough to beat them. Whereas I think once talent starts distributing a little more evenly, I think you're going to see more and more players say, hey, I want to be the guy. I want to lead a team. Even if that means, okay, I'm teaming up with one of my buddies. I think once that championship bar gets lowered, I think you're going to see more and more players kind of get competitive and go out there.
I think that I disagree. I think that this is just the reality we live in. And it's been this way since LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh teamed up. Now, I'm not saying they invented it, but they did at least for the modern era. I mean, LeBron
invented this type of player empowerment.
Absolutely.
Then he did it in Cleveland. That's his contribution to the league.
Right. He went back to Cleveland, and you remember that first year. Like, they traded for Kevin Love, and they had Kyrie Irving. They were the super team until the Warriors came out of nowhere and were a buzzsaw.
Yeah. You know, did that happen? I forgot.
Yeah.
I do think hold on, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Move on without me.
I think one thing. Okay, how about this for a solution? Because I don't want I agree with you guys. I don't think it necessarily needs a solution. And I think a lot of people, the kind of trend that I'm seeing is more and more people are rooting for players. They're enjoying just the general kind of chaos and storylines of the league. It's become professional wrestling in a lot of ways. And I do think that there's some value in that, but I do think that there's also value in really like believing in your team, believing they have a chance to at least become competitive. And I think restricting player movement would be a mistake, but I do think maybe there could be some interesting opportunities for compensation where if a player's leaving, if you want to maintain that player's bird rights, or let's say it's after the 7 years and they're leaving as a free agent and you want to have those rights, you can negotiate that in exchange for draft picks. Like other leagues have this. Baseball has it, football has it to some extent, where you're receiving compensation back for giving up star players. And I don't know if that would come in the form of designated players. Obviously, we're not going to franchise tags or anything like that. But if you could label a player as this is our guy, and if you want them, if you want to have the ability to re-sign them, we need to negotiate here to get those rights. What do you think of that kind of idea? I mean, I'm not the smartest guy. I don't have solutions here. And I agree with you guys that maybe we don't even need a solution, but I do think that that might be an interesting avenue to go down.
Yeah. I don't think we've got a problem, honestly. And the league finding Anthony Davis $50,000 is, come on now. They generated so much revenue off the buzz, right? Like
LeBron paid that in a cash briefcase, right?
Yeah. It's just, come on. Like, what are we doing here? But I really don't think there's a problem. I do think you look at teams like Oklahoma City, San Antonio, which is not actually a small market, but like as far as the television market goes, it's smaller. Teams that are run well, they do fine. You know, Paul George re-signed in OKC. No one thought that was going to happen. Good right. culture, good team. And maybe, just maybe, if some of these shitty teams – I don't know if this is supposed to be clean or not.
My God.
Okay.
You've been on enough time.
Some of these shitty teams – let me emphasize that. If they would just clean up their act and do a better job of running their basketball team, this wouldn't be an issue. If Anthony Davis – like, if you can't win with Anthony Davis – what the hell are you doing?
Well, let's be clear, Dave. It would be an issue, but just because of the Warriors.
Sure. Yeah. Like, you can't win a title.
But, like, I asked Justin before you hopped on, if the Warriors just didn't exist, they just disappeared off the map tomorrow, how many teams would have a realistic shot at winning the title?
Maybe three or four.
Oh, I think it's, like, closer to seven or eight.
And so oh, really? Justin. I would say Toronto, Milwaukee, Denver, oh. and Oklahoma City.
I really don't think Boston would have a realistic shot.
I mean, I guess they'd have a shot, sure. So we could say
realistic shot is all we're asking for.
Yeah, we could say Boston, Philly.
Like the, it would be a surprise, but Brooklyn. Like it could happen.
Right.
So,
Brooklyn.
I heard that the first
time. I'm having to make you chill. I've had to tell you to chill like six times tonight.
I can't wait. If we get a Brooklyn-Boston first round series.
Oh, man.
They're a terrible matchup for the Celtics.
Man, it would be tough for the playoffs to lose both Boston and Toronto in the first round.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, that would be tough.
God. Oh, that would be brutal.
I remain on the skeptical of Milwaukee, this defense in the postseason.
And I would like to point out that once again, Toronto still doesn't have a good win this entire season with Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, unless you're counting Boston on opening night for them.
Yeah, they're a little.
Dave, you think they should try to throw their hat in the ring for the Brow? Can they beat the Lakers' best offer at least?
I mean, I think so. I think a lot of teams can beat the offer, right? It's just, do you want to give up like Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, you know, and picks?
Fucking yes.
Well, listen to me. But for a guy who really might just leave in a year, right?
Yes. Like,
if the Raptors did that, the Raptors instantly become like it's the Raptors and the Warriors, and that's the conversation.
Yeah, that's why you do it.
Right. And so your hope is that you get to the finals and boom, then maybe he stays, maybe Kawhi stays.
I think your worst case scenario is that Kawhi leaves after this year, even with AD there, because I don't know. They're weird guys. Let's say that happens. You can still flip Anthony Davis.
You have though, all right? summer to flip AD.
I've been selling this, by the way.
And I think the real move, Dave, let's see if you agree with this. I think the real move is, especially if you're giving up all those young guys, I'm offering up Kyle Lowry, and I want Drew Holiday back too. I want to get younger, healthier, bigger.
I just don't think that works. I don't think they do it.
You don't think the Pelicans do it?
No, they're not going to. You'd have to include a lot more.
Yeah.
Because Drew might be better than this version of Kyle Lowry, at least as a trade asset.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know, man. It just feels like such a no-brainer to me. Like, if I were Masai, I would just be beating down Dell Demps's door. Like, I'll give you anything except Lowry and Leonard, if only just because Lowry doesn't really make sense in the framework of the deal. And we'll give you two unprotected firsts. We'll give you Siakam. We'll give you OG. We'll give you DeLon Wright. Whatever you need. Whatever you need to get it done. I don't care. I just, like, make it happen, because the alternative
I'd go full Andy King. I'd go full Andy King. I'd go down there and suck his dick.
I don't know, man. I just think Kawhi's going to leave if they don't get another star.
I think Kawhi's going to leave unless they win a championship.
Oh, come on. If they traded for Anthony Davis, you cannot tell me he would leave.
Nah, I think
for
he's gone. I think he's gone.
The Clippers?
Yeah.
Why are we so proud of the Clippers for doing nothing?
Why are we so proud of Anthony Davis for the Clippers or the Nets?
Because, dude, there's such a – Dave, as someone who shits on Lakers exceptionalism as much as anyone, you know there is such a fucking difference between those two.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, it's L.A., and that's why he would go to the Clippers. It's L.A., and there's no LeBron.
I think Anthony Davis would be – I think Anthony Davis – and or a title is what would keep him there. That's my opinion.
Maybe. I would be willing to take the risk.
I just think the fact that you still get to flip Davis if all goes to hell,
right,
is enough insulation for me to bet the farm.
You're ready for the reset. That's the thing. It's like this Kawhi trade, like people lost sight of the fact that Toronto, if it doesn't work out and Kawhi leaves, boom. All they got to do is move Lowry and Ibaka, and they're ready for their reset.
Yeah. No. I think they're fully ready for a reset. And
yeah,
got to go on.
Now, they won't be ready for their reset if they trade for Brow and he walks. Like, yeah, you'll be able to trade him, but you won't get equivalent value to what you gave up.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Right. Hang on. Would you not get equivalent value? Would you still – if you're Toronto –
you're not getting the equivalent of Siakam,
right,
OG, and two unprotected –
because none of the Lakers guys are as good as –
okay, yeah, first – I forgot about the first. I was going to say, if you're getting the whole Lakers roster, if you're getting Jason Tatum and whatever Boston's
off – well, that close, the Lakers will also be – next summer, the Lakers are going to be less inclined.
The Lakers ruled LeBron out, and he's playing tonight. They're not in control of that team.
That's a good point.
I don't think LeBron's going to be punting another year. I just can't see.
Yeah, that. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Point is, you're not going to get your two firsts back. But that's why if you're the Pelicans, you have to really think hard about that offer if it comes to you, because two unprotected firsts for a team that very well could be giving you two first to fifth overall picks if things go wrong for them. Like, you've almost created your version of the Nets trade there.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree. That starts to get really risky in a hurry.
Yeah, which is why it's such a tantalizing deal. That's why it's my preferred deal by a mile.
I mean, here's the thing. If you think he's going to L.A., which that seems to be the prevailing theory, not just that he's going to get traded for by the Lakers, but that he would just sign there as a
free agent. He'll land there.
Yeah. I just don't know if anyone – and Masai might be the one GM that has, like –
that's why it's so awesome. Yeah.
He might he might not only have like the job security, but the freaking balls to do it.
It's such a fun outcome for so many reasons. Plus, you know what I'd be really interested in is Kawhi. Like, Matt Moore has written about this a lot, and it's always been kind of a fun topic to me, which is like, that the Spurs defense never was that much better with Kawhi on the floor.
Right.
And Davis is another one of those guys whose teams have never been very good defensively.
Right.
And I just kind of want to see, like, okay, this is as good of defensive personnel as you can possibly have. Like, what does that defense work? How does that defense even work with the best interior defender that you could build in a lab and the best perimeter defender you could build in a lab?
And yeah. You mean Danny Green?
Of course I meant
Danny. Right, right. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the only guy they have to protect is Danny Green. I want Danny Green with Kawhi.
Yeah. Danny Green signing in Brooklyn this summer is going to be crazy.
Chill, Dave.
Everyone's going to Brooklyn.
Do you think – here's my thing. I'm really frustrated by this. So Toronto thought their big solution on the bench was, we are going to promote the architect of our offenses that did so well in the playoffs, and that is what's going to get us over the top.
I was just talking about something around this, but yes, go ahead, please.
And it's just, I really think, especially with Kawhi coming in there and you have 1 year to sell him, I just think having a first-year head coach, I wonder if they'd make that decision if they knew they were getting Kawhi. Like, it's hard to wrap my head around. And I just looked at it now. The Raptors defense is worse with Kawhi on the floor. So Matt Moore's theory is continuing there. But
it's such a fascinating trend.
But, well, it's because they stick his man in the corner, right? Like,
yeah, that's the prevailing theory.
You just don't attack.
But there's got to be more to it than that.
For sure. And I just think it's funny that even with a considerably better roster, that Toronto is worse offensively and defensively than they were last year. And I know injuries are a part of that, but I mean, their only good wins are with one of Lowry and Kawhi out of the lineup. Like, they're not playing well together.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I don't know how much Raptors basketball you guys watch, but when Kawhi's out there, the ball just sticks, man. Like, you know, we make fun of Melo for isolation. Kawhi is worse.
It's one of those things where the Spurs ecosystem really insulated him from that, because even though they did play that style, they still let him kind of pound the rock. They did it in a way that didn't come at the expense of too much flow, I feel. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah.
So, like, when you take away that ecosystem and just say, go get us buckets, that, I mean, the difference is the pretty ball movement and stuff just doesn't work in the playoffs a lot of times. You do need bucket getters. So that actually has me less concerned for them from the perspective of, like, it's okay if your offense stagnates a little bit in the offense or in the playoffs, because, like, defenses just get better. So you do need to be able to have guys. Like, they didn't have anyone who could get those buckets when the offense stopped working last year.
Right.
And now they have it, but it is aesthetically a little problematic.
It's very Spursian the way they have it set up, where the bench comes in and there's all this beautiful ball movement and guys get open looks. And I mean, they really are like Spurs North.
Yeah, they're a fascinating team to watch. They're probably my favorite team to watch in the league right now.
Really?
Just in terms of, I'm just interested. I'm always learning when I watch their games.
Yeah. Who's your least favorite?
I guess favorite, team? I didn't mean by entertainment value. What did you say?
Who's your least favorite team to watch?
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. The team's so bad that the head coach doesn't know if he wants to coach anymore. Good
fuck
Lord.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, we're done. We're a very anti-Larry Drew podcast.
Yeah.
God, it's just so funny, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're getting paychecks to not do your job.
Yeah, it's poor such thing. A waste, man. Like, it's such a waste. They could have just hired a guy, like a young – hell, look at what Minnesota did, right? Now, Ryan Saunders might wind up winning that job, and you got a young coach who's going to grow with your young players.
Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta is actually pretty fun to watch.
Atlanta. You should have just promoted James Posey. And,
from there. Why not?
Anyone who's not a total lame duck staff.
Dave, before we wrap this up, because we are running really long on this one. My pick for head coach, I want Jerry Stackhouse. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I can't believe someone hasn't poached Stackhouse yet. First of all, Memphis should have just hired him as their coach instead of Bickerstaff. That was just ridiculous. the fact that that guy's still in the G League, I mean, he's got a track record. He's well-respected. He seems to know what he's doing. I can't believe he hasn't been hired yet. Like, he checks every single box. Former yeah. player, everything. He checks yeah. every single box. And he's paying his dues in the G League, and that guy, like, isn't even...
I respect the shit out of him for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Makes me like him as a coach prospect a lot more. Like, yeah. knowing that none of us really know what we're talking about with most NBA coaches because you just don't have all the context you need. But
well, right. Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. Like, we don't know when an assistant coach is good.
Yeah, all the check marks are there right now, right. though.
Yeah. But I can tell you,
I'm surprised.
About, like, you look at what he's done in the G League, man. If you can coach in the G League, you can coach in the NBA, like, as a head coach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, the game is similar, right? Like, it's yeah. it's.
And the guys are less motivated to play team ball. So if you can
right.
get them playing, that's that. I think that says a lot about you. And also shout out to Blake Murphy over at the Athletic. He's been preaching the gospel of Jerry Stackhouse for a while, and he spent a lot of time covering the 905. So I'm all in on that. But Dave, thank you so much for dropping in and surprising Carter.
Oh, that was lovely.
It was.
I was happy to have you.
I fell asleep during the Bucks Raptors game.
Yeah, then you came in hot in your self promoting mode. I appreciate right. it. I like self promoting, Dave. You got to do.
Yeah, that was endearing.
Well, I got yelled at by a few people. Like, not yelled, but you know what I mean. I got a bunch of DMs where people were like, "Dude, you really don't promote your stuff enough." Like, yeah, sometimes don't. I don't know when you're.
That's
doing
a humble brag. No. I reject it categorically.
You know, I mean. Domin, right? Like that's the guy. He's always in my ear. And then Sam Vecenie. And they were like, "Dude, you really have to promote your stuff. Like, seriously." I was like, "Okay." So now I go full Shea Serrano. Oh, every wow. podcast I've ever done is the best podcast I've ever
done. All caps, baby.
All that's caps. Right. Man, I remember back when I started at FTS and it was Conrad, David, Vecenie was still writing for us. That was a squad for a really, really bad team. And everyone did big, important things except for me. The process of elimination was really...
Well, you got married.
I mean, whatever.
You know.
Anybody can get married. It's nothing important.
Dave, yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much. Make sure you guys are checking out the Back to Back podcast. Daily Ding, Nerder She Wrote, two of my favorite podcasts out there. Big thanks to Dave. Big shout out to the Winnipeg Jets for beating Carter's Blue Jackets 4-3
and no.
remaining at the top of the Western Conference.
Gee whiz.
And a big shout out to our listeners as well. Remember, support the podcast. The best thing you guys can do is subscribe. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. If you want to be part of our Discord chat, take a screenshot of that review and email it to chasedownpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys. Until next week, go Cavs.